Do you want to do the intro thing all over again?
I fucking hate it here, bro. Hey guys, we're back.
Hey,
what it do, y'all?
I'm really tempted to keep that part in there purely out of context.
What part are you talking about, Lamont?
The fucking I hate it here, bro.
This is not an Ace Vein quarantine. I hate it here. But no, we love it here, and we are the AmeriMe Junkies.
Yep, yep. I'm Demon Engine.
I'm Salty Truth. and below us is Sadiqua Love, who's giving me Roxanne Goofy movie vibes.
Always. Chat, don't slide into her DMs. You will be lost in there.
You can definitely slide into my DMs. Like, stop.
You slide on her DMs, you're gonna find yourself in a sunken place. Just
rude.
You will be no more special.
But you didn't say it wasn't accurate.
You will be no more special than a grain of sand on a beach.
That's why my last name is Love. I have only that to give, okay?
Love hurts. Today we're going to be talking about Hollywood tropes, the ones that still kind of work, the ones that don't work at all, and a few that just need to be, you know, tweaked or something. But first, I've got some interesting nerd news. Got the Geek Report. All right, so yesterday the trailer for Godzilla versus King Kong came out. And I wasn't around, but Engine was able to talk about it with Nico, and it looked like they had a blast. Check that out on our YouTube page. I was just hyped when I saw King Kong run that quick fade. The fact that it was two monsters on a small platform, I was like, yo, this shit like Smash Brothers.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my God! Fucking King Donkey Kong versus Bowser. That's
oh
shit.
My gosh.
Did you see it? Said mm-hmm. What'd you think?
Like I actually like those movies, so I'm just a little bit on the fence, to be honest. I just don't know how to feel.
They showed Kong. They showed as Kong as the projected winner in these trailers.
Right.
Yeah. They kind of did.
He got some good licks with Godzilla. And I don't know how to feel about that.
I was like, is this the whole movie or
it should be. I'm tired of this random ass human element stories and their feelings. Just stick to the monsters.
Anime's do it best, yo. Just stick to I will sit here for 40 minutes of CGI. Monster fights.
Right. I mean, like, I really, really enjoy these movies. So I'm just going in with like low expectations, hoping that, you know, they deliver higher than what I expect. That's all I can ask.
That's all we can hope for.
All we can hope for.
Well, all right. Meanwhile, in animation, there's talks of a Good Times animated reboot, which at first, I was like, hey, that's not a completely bad idea. Mm-hmm. But then the name Seth MacFarlane is attached to it.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah, I just don't want like another Family Guy.
Well, and the funny thing is, he doesn't even like Family Guy anymore. But it keeps, like, people are still watching it. They're not even trying anymore. Like, his most creative show right now outside of the Orville is American Dad.
Which still gives me Family Guy vibes, you know, like everything
I don't know, because American Dad actually tells stories. It's just not barrage of cutscenes and segues into random rigmarole.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like there's actual character arcs.
There
that carry over.
I just want, like, you know how you just like I guess I would want, like, it's not to be like, what was that one movie he did where he was a teddy bear? Is that Ted?
Ted.
Yeah, like, I don't want, like, a Ted Good Times. You know what I mean? Like,
I just don't want Seth MacFarlane doing it, period, because he's always danced, he plays racism comedy really good on the razor's edge, but I feel like him doing Good Times is just going to be really, really racist, really, really bad, and nothing good will come from it. The Cleveland Show started out good until they tried to make it more about a black experience when it's surrounded by white guys.
I can't with
stop crying
with Engine.
I know, right?
So, I have Happy Leaf.
Understood, Happy Leaf. I don't know. I just don't think it's a good idea. But speaking of happiness, new Resident Evil Village trailer dropped with a demo, bringing us the thing we need more now than ever: big titty goth women.
Yes.
Yes. Are they goth?
Yo.
I feel like one is hillbilly and the other is goth.
No. In 7 we had hillbillies.
Okay. Yeah.
These are the one. There's the 1 9-foot big titty goth girl. Then there are the smaller ones.
She's not even goth girl. She's goth woman. Like, she's goth a
woman.
Step on me, mommy.
She's mommy vibes, like, for real.
My whole thing is, I like it for now, but I know that they're gonna get transformed into something nasty. So. Mm-hmm. I'm just like,
it's going to have to happen, because I'm going to tell you, up until that point, I have no reason to be afraid up until that point.
Did you guys know it's already happened, the nastiness? Have you guys not seen the thread?
Don't ruin it for me yet.
For those 4chan rules?
Shut your ass.
Oh, God.
Okay, like, that's all right. I saw a thread already.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
NC-17.
But hey, big titty goth girls, cool. Capcom, you know.
Thank you.
Keeping up with their traditions.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of Japan, Konami apparently is closing several of its divisions of video game productions. They're closing up a lot of their productions. They went from having 4 to, and in February they're only going to have 1. With the way things have been going with Konami, I'm not really surprised. Them getting rid of Kojima, Metal Gear 5 being divisive, the canceling of Silent Hills.
That's so disappointing.
They really don't have too many properties that they're working with video game wise. Meanwhile, they've doubled down on their investment in Pachinko. They have Silent Hill Pachinko games. Metal Gear Solid, Pachinko, all those things that are have a very niche market, mostly exclusive to Japan. They're still going to continue to produce the Pro Evolution Soccer game, as well as Yu-Gi-Oh! And Bomberman.
Well, you know, Konami, like, does so much business outside of their video games, so it's like...
But it's also, they've also been treating their video games like shit. It's like, I understand they make more money they make money outside of those, but it doesn't mean that you should, like, fall back, like, because at one point the video game division was literally carrying them by the balls. But sure, most of the support was from Hideo Kojima, but nonetheless. But it seems like without them, they really just don't have what they might not have what it takes to survive in today's market. So they're probably pulling back. Yu-Gi-Oh keeps them strong in the tabletop format.
Right.
And Pro Evolution Soccer is the counterpoint to EA's FIFA. Mm-hmm. And this is a constant duel with that. I don't know. Konami's been fucking up. I haven't really been rocking out with them for quite some time. yeah. Last piece, and this happened today. There is pitch meetings at HBO Max for a live action Harry Potter series. Now that is exactly where they are. Pitch meetings. So they know they want to do it. They just have no idea where to go.
Yeah, and is this like with the way all the fans feel about JK, it's gonna be, you know, I don't know. If the core fan group is going to pay, you know, give it a lot of screen time. I'm talking about like the OGs who like really, you know, are now who really rock with Harry Potter, but really against JK now, which is.
I mean, you know, it's bad when all the lead actors are just like have to disavow JK Rowling.
It's really so sad that like, you know, I just feel like there are things that I feel like the first offense could have been forgiven with something. With something done after, but it's like the selling of anti-trans merch was like, that's just it right there. Like,
yeah, when you had a chance to back out, you doubled down.
Exactly. Because I feel like the first point could have easily been turned around into, okay, let's of course, you know, support trans people and all those. And like, you know, it could have just been like just straight up that. And or she could have just completely moved her platform to feminism or just like maybe like, you know, women centric things, which is not, you know, that's not a bad a bad stage to stand on. But
or she could have just shut the fuck up.
Exactly. It's like exactly. You didn't have to like have any sort of.
I got to write a book, fam. It's going to be called Shutting the Fuck Up and How It Can Save Your Fucking Life.
But I'm just like, it's crazy. It's just crazy that when you choose to advocate for something, you're choosing to advocate for something against something that, you know what I mean? Like, to be for something. I just feel like just advocate for the thing. Like you want to advocate for women, then just advocate for women. You don't have to be against anything else to advocate. You know what I mean? Like, and that was like where she effed up. Like,
yeah. It's
a sad breakup, yo.
I hope that something good comes out of the pitch meeting. There's definitely a market that can be tapped here with sci-fi canceling The Magician Show, which the book series was literally inspired by Harry Potter. They just wanted to take a more mature approach. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a market for it. HBO is definitely down for just about everything right now. HBO Max is just like, yo, what you got? Yeah, come on.
We want
yo.
It. Like all the Studio Ghibli stuff on there.
Right.
I just watched Howl's Moving Castle for the first time and like,
you just saw that?
Yeah, I never seen any Studio Ghibli movies, like, ever. So now, no, like, I did it on purpose because once I got older, and I was like, I've never seen them. I want to wait and, like, binge watch them with someone, like a group of friends or, like, a partner or something. And, like, the time.
So she watched them with a partner.
Yeah, like, I always was waiting. I was just always.
Hey, why'd you put that back in my head? I was trying not to remember it. Damn it.
Insider joke, y'all.
Fucking hate you.
I'm drooling.
I bet you were.
But yeah, so just speaking of HBO Max, like they like, you know, they'll take anything, which is for me, I like it. Like I like spending time on there, so.
Yeah, last week me and Brahim discussed it. the fact that they now have a lot of the DC universe shows, and they brung over Batman the Animated Series, and they're in talks of rebooting that as well.
So, which I'm not like against that at all.
I don't know.
Like, I don't have much faith anyway. So like, I'm just not, like, at the same time, like, Batman is just so like, you know, just transcends like all generations. Like, I never have a problem with any Batman reboots, even if they're bad at this point. Like, because I just feel like people are going to continue to like Batman. Like, I'm probably not going to watch, but I'm not like against it either.
I don't know. Like, I'm really enjoying Harley Quinn, the Harley Quinn show. So, I don't know. I look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, something we didn't discuss. That will be our last bit. Chris Evans is returning to the MCU as Captain America.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know in what capacity, but.
Mm-hmm.
That's very odd.
It probably won't be like in a very big way, though. It probably won't be something like super significant.
Who's Captain America?
I know, but yeah, it might Captain be
America. Like, they can't just bring him back as old Cap.
They might just
let some bullshit they is might going just on.
Drop him in or do put him in some flashbacks.
If they did like a mini, like a small series of Cap throughout the decades.
Oh, from that's so cute.
Yeah, because I would definitely be like, "Yo, so did you not try and stop the assassination of Martin Luther King, bro? What's up? I know you were at the March on Washington. Come on, bro.
You had to be reason.
Talk about it.
I definitely could see them like photoshopping him in to Selma crossing the bridge.
Like, right.
They could make Steve Rogers Forrest Gump. Because remember how Forrest Gump in that movie, he was part of, like, all these pivotal moments?
Yes. I could imagine that, like, to explain that he was, like, held captive, or he was, like, almost there. Like, he was almost there to save Martin Luther King Jr. And then by the split of a second he missed it.
Right. Okay. That's cool. Either way, I'm gonna trust the MCU process right now. They haven't disappointed me, unlike others.
You know who you are. Fucking Snyder Cut.
Fucking DC.
How's it feel to soon cancel all printed comics?
Chill. But yeah, that's the Geek Report.
Alright, so since that was the Geek Report,
leave the Geek Report, like, because, you know, I know I wanted to bring in some anime stuff and some manga stuff that I did, I read about, and I know it's probably not like super new news or whatever, but since Attack on Titan is going crazy right now, like, everyone's watching it, they're like, the manga
Backstarter riots.
It's been so
Backstarter riots.
It's literally been less than riots. Like, so the manga is set to end on April 10th. Did we talk about that before?
No, we have not. Yeah.
So the last, you know, chapter will be coming out on April 10th this year, and Isayama is just like, he's been playing with us all these years. First, he said, like, you know, I'm definitely going to end Attack on Titan in the most devastating way. I'm going to kill everybody. And then he told us, like, you know, guys, I changed my mind. Like, I might do something different. And then he came out and said, oh, we're ending it on April 10th. And I'm going to devastate you all. Like, I really want to make you all sad. And I'm just like, all right, Isayama, like, you've been playing with us all this time anyway. Like, at this point, I expect it. I don't know what you've been through in 2020, but clearly you're trying to take it out on your readers.
Hey, you know, I respect this choice.
The main hero of the story just took a pronunciation of war on himself by them and said, all right, bet, fuck them kids, was his immediate response. Right. Like, if it's fuck me, then it's fuck you too. I was not.
Oh, man.
Hilarious.
Everybody, man. Even Armin was like, anyway.
Gotcha. All right. Hear that beautiful B-roll for this act. You good?
I don't know what he saw.
I was about to say.
We all like kind of came in with something crazy. I'm taking gum out my mouth, and Corey's looking up at maybe some spider creature coming.
I was making a joke as if I was lagging again.
Oh, I was about to say, my guy, you stuck in the fucking December 56.
Corey was like, nah, I am coming into 2021 this episode.
25 days late.
Happy New Year.
Bruh. But no, today we're talking about Hollywood tropes. Because Tinseltown's been around forever now, and things do tend to repeat themselves.
Stale.
There's tropes and or cliches that some of them I feel like are a staple, but also a few of them you can kind of just get rid of.
Yep. ASAP. We done with you.
Which obvious one should we bring up first?
That gotta go.
Gotta go.
I really like the first one. I like the white savior one. Like, I'm over that.
Gotta go.
I'm done with that.
Gotta go.
It's nothing to even say about it. It's like, we don't need that anymore.
You gotta go. You gotta split the scene, bamboozle, skedaddle. Get out of here.
I think the last time I was completely done with that trope, like, I think this was the peak of it. I think it was, I want to say 2014, 2015, there was a movie called The Great Wall. It was made in China. Mm-hmm. It was about a large war between several clans, mm-hmm. but the main character was Matt Damon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, yo, one of these things is not like the other. Mm-hmm. One of these things just doesn't belong. How did Chad get over to China?
Right. Yeah, for me, like, what I was seeing over the years, like, I think about this movie Free State of Jones with Matthew McConaughey, where there's a white guy who had literally a Free State of Jones where he was able to let black people live in a way, but they had to fight, you know, for that, and it was like, I understand what the movie was about and the story that they were telling, but I still feel like it was a white savior movie, you know what I mean? Like, I would have liked them to focus more on what the black people, from the black person's point of view versus from Matthew McConaughey's point of view, if that makes sense, if you get what I'm saying. Like, mm-hmm. because we, I don't know, it's just like, those are just some type of stories where, like, I get the story is about that white person, but because we've seen so many white saviors, this white savior roles, this is a time where you can come at a story from a totally different point of view that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Or what about that movie Green Book? I don't know if you guys seen that. And it has such potential. Great actors, you know what I mean? Great actors. The story has
that
such...
That shit boiled my blood. Shit boiled my blood. I was like, so let me get this straight. You did a movie about these two real guys, but the driver is the actual main character. And for research purposes, you spoke to his family, but not to the black guy's family.
Tell me about it. Like, come on.
And then on top of that, y'all did one of those other fucking tropes where it makes it look like they solved racism in the movie.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know what movie? You know what movie? Is it? I hope this is what it's called. With Halle Berry's older movie. Halle Berry, not older, but you know, and the guy that played Bad Santa.
Billy Bob Thornton,
But is it
Monsters
Monsters
Ball.
Ball? I feel like that's a movie that's not White Savior, but it is in
No.
a way. Like you can like somebody like really super critical could see it that way, but like I don't feel like that was a White Savior
That
movie.
is not a
Like
white savior movie. No one's saving anybody. I'm sorry.
exactly, and I like that movie because to me that's more realistic in that setting.
At the end of the day, Billy Bob's character became just a slightly less shitty person. That's
Exactly.
it.
Exactly. And I feel like maybe that's why I was satisfied with that movie because it leaves you with a more realistic feeling of like, even though these things were provided by him, he ain't save himself. He ain't save her for real. Like they still got a whole hell of a lot of heartache and trials to go through. And it, you know what I mean? Like they still got life to live. Ain't nothing been saved. Life just has been lived.
Yes.
And I like that.
Like especially when you saw like that Billy Bob's whole family dynamic was so fucked up. Because at first I was just like, so his dad's racist. Is he right racist adjacent or is just an asshole? I can't like because you know sometimes those guys end up being racist by default. But no, he was just an overall asshole because he even
Asshole, yeah.
treated his son like a piece of shit. To the point that he killed himself.
Exactly. So, yeah. And I know, like, for me,
R.I.P. to
let
Heath
me
Ledger. That
say,
was a
to
great
be less
performance by
shit
him.
than you were the day before. That's how some people view that. Don't strive to be better every day. Strive to be less shitty
That's
than you
it.
were
Yeah.
the day before.
That's the moral of that story when it comes down. But
We
yeah.
all know. We all know why we watch Monsters Ball.
Make me feel good.
sex.
Yes, I guess let's bring us back to present time, you know, present time. Yeah.
Also, another problem, and well, you know what? This isn't even a trope yet, but I notice it becoming one. Studios get so focused on casting by demographics and aesthetics that they forget to make a story.
I'm okay.
Didn't ask. Fix your shit.
Sid dropped her phone, I assume. But as I continue, I recently watched The Craft Legacy, which was supposed to be a sequel to The Craft. And they were so focused on this core group of characters to consist of a black girl, a transgender, a Latino, and a white girl, and they don't have any story. I was just like, yo, this movie's dumb. I was like, why is your bad guy David Duchovny? I was like, what's going on? Why did y'all even make this related to The Craft? I was like, what the hell, Amazon?
Yeah, I'm at the point where for me that's not even like becoming a trope, it is a trope. Like because it's been happening for like I'm trying to think like I feel like we can go back as far as like probably even early 2000s of like seeing it. Like I even think about like you know, I'm a big Twilight fan, but think of how trendy and like cringy that Twilight series is. Like if people who read the book know that there's a lot of like aesthetics that just was not present in the book, but was only present based off of what was so trendy at the time. Like that kind of whole hipster grungy thing was like was in at the time, but it was like soft hipster, soft grunge, you know, so like And Twilight definitely like had that in there, you know? It was just so
also, I just thought it was weird. I was like, so are all the Native Americans werewolves? Is that just like a okay? And then I also was weirded out how wild vampires didn't wear shoes. And I was just like, what is
because why do you sparkle, they run fam? Too fast, like so the shoes will just burn off.
Okay, why they sparkle though?
Because they're like stone.
I guess
the sun.
Twilight just started off a bad series of shit.
I don't know what the fuck you just said to me, love, but I'm gonna just take that shit as a sign of disrespect. But they're like stone, that. So they sparkle. The
that's what it said in the book.
Are they a crystal gem?
That's what it said in the book. But like I feel like, you know, the aesthetics thing, you know, started even way back in that time. Like, of course, we can probably go back in the 90s and find stuff like that. But I just don't feel like the way it was starting in the earlier 2000s or whatever. Like,
the one trope I'm glad got defeated surprisingly early, how all the 80s muscle-bound action stars, that trope got defeated in one simple movie, Die Hard.
What do you mean?
Think about it. If you look at 80s action cinema, mm-hmm. it was all super, super diesel, muscle-bound mm-hmm. guys.
Mm-hmm.
Bullets all over the place. And then you had John McClane, who was played by Bruce Willis, who mm-hmm. literally looks like a everyday dude.
Any white guy.
Everyday yeah. dude, blue collar, definitely has issues with his wife.
Yeah. Well, you know what he looks like? He looks like current Bruce Willis, who is now canceled by people for going in a store and refusing to wear a mask. Like,
what? That happened?
That happened. Like, Bruce Willis literally gave someone a hard time. They're like, can you put on a mask? And he's like, no, I don't want to put on a mask in the store.
God damn it, Bruce.
Any white guy. I mean, him like, and no Bruce. Or white boxers or whatever, but I'm just saying.
Damn it. Well, in the whole Die Hard series.
No wonder they had the balls to storm the Capitol. They had Die Hard on their side.
No, we're not doing this. Stop.
You know the kid that was like, don't F with me. I got God and anime on my side. The people at the Capitol was like, don't F with me. We got Trump and Bruce Willis on our side. We got Trump and Die Hard on our side.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna say one thing about the Capitol stuff, and we can move on.
Okay.
I honestly was looking for that one guy from South Park who was like, "They to go down." I honestly expected to see that dude. He's just in the Capitol.
Alright, let's move on before we get cussed out for this.
But plowing ahead.
Okay.
You can't get mad at this. At us for this. This is genuine content, baby.
Okay. Alright. Okay. All right.
Moving on. Let's go.
We have all right. One of these tropes always got to me. These really shitty rom-coms where they try to make people look like they're doing a good thing, but they really aren't.
Right.
Like a perfect example, Say Anything, and that infamous scene with Abraham Lincoln was outside the door having the girl read the signs about how he loves her. Mind you, she's married to his best friend who's inside the house. I'm like, yo, this is not a romantic gesture. Mm-mm. This is hands down the shittiest thing you could do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like,
toxic with a capital T.
Yes.
And they're playing music over it, and I'm just like, this isn't. Oh, I'm like, what are you on?
Mm-hmm.
This is horrible. I'm like, this is what's doing it for y'all. When it comes to our people, I'm putting this out here. Love and Basketball is a horrible film.
Yes, I never liked that love story growing up. I did not understand what people thought. I was like, I would never want to have that type of relationship. I thought that was terrible.
Now, the counter side to that is Brown Sugar.
Ooh.
Brown Sugar was a very, now that was actually, I think, the better overall love story. It was about two friends who grew up, lived their lives, and at some point both realized that they actually really did love each other.
Yes. Yeah. And then you know what met in the middle of those two? Love Jones.
Yep.
Like, Love Jones met in the middle. It wasn't as toxic as Love and Basketball, but it wasn't as pure as Brown Sugar.
This is true. And I think Love Jones actually had a great realm of kind of honesty when it came to the vagueness of courting and
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like older movies, they just had this something about it. Like they just approach things differently, man. Yeah.
Now
generalization that I look like the dad from the guy from Bebe's Kids.
Oh,
and shit, I also Robin look,
stop.
And I also look like every black antagonist in the Tyler Perry movie. Stop. If I shave my head, and I am having an entire existential crisis right now, and I don't know how to feel.
Stop this now! You are a trope. You're a living trope.
All you need now is a light skinned dude in touch with his sensitive side.
Yes. With a braid wig.
And has no shirt on.
Right.
No. Oh my God, Michael Bray was the protagonist of the story and I'm the antagonist.
What's You're up, Mike? Trouble. Actually,
we got a new movie to make, boys.
I know he occasionally listens to us, so hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
I still love you, John Redcorn. You're my boy. But one trope that has always been funny, and I don't see it changing just because no matter what, it just works. The funny fat guy. It's one of those things I'm just like, I want to see a movie where the funny fat guy is the main character, but he's just like, The trope is just so clutch. Like,
fat friend.
Look at Rel and Get Out.
I was just thinking about him. Yeah. But the thing I like about Rel, right, is his character. Like, say if they expanded upon his character, like, I could see his character getting girls. I can see his character being respected. Like, I don't see him being, like, you know, this poor or, like, discarded, you know, big guy, like how they try to make some of the big funny guys where they're just like undesirable. Like for me,
I ain't gonna lie, Issa Rae played the shit out of Rel in Insecure.
I felt
five different kinds of ways. I was like, wait a minute, you really
go so funny because of how everything
I was like, you really threw this nigga to the side, go back to the nigga that's married? I'm like,
yeah. I just think that, like, if we're going to keep that trope, which I'm definitely fine with keeping that trope, because honestly, like, big guys are funny anyway in real life. But not only are they funny, not only are they funny, but they're actually like desirable. Like women actually want them, and I or and men want them, and non-binary people want them. And I want to see them being wanted. I want to see them making money. I want to see them like you know. I want to see them succeeding or whatever, or I want to see them overcoming things. Like I don't want to just see them as side characters. I want to definitely see them as a main character.
Listen, baby, let's cold outside, and you want a man that can lay next to you and keep the heat on all night and keep that stomach cool. Call me. But no, I think that I love that trope. I love that trope a lot. It actually worked. Now, one trope that I think is dead, and I'm kind of glad for it, the foreign kid trope. The foreign kid trope, I think that has been played so many different times, so many different ways, that the really hard accents, every racist caricature of the culture, doubling down on almost all the stereotypes. I mean, I think so, and don't get me wrong, there's been some goats. There have been some goats at it. Cal Penn and National Lampoon's Van Wilder. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time they showed them, they even played like a little small piece of Indian music. And I was just like, all right. I was like, that's kind of awkward. The hot foreign chick from American Pie.
I can't.
What?
One character that I do like, and you know, speaking in the nerd realm, MCU, I do like Spider-Man's best friend.
Yo,
like he gets on my nerves. He gets on my nerves, but I just love that. Like you know, he doesn't have to be anything but who he is. He doesn't, you know, have to be stereotypical.
But yeah. Yo, shout out to the actor though. He recently has been seen. Yo, my man lost like crazy mad weight.
Mm-hmm.
And he has like this slight younger Smokey Robinson look to him. I was like, all right.
I love that they casted him as he was, and it wasn't like the competition of like who's hot, who's not. Like they didn't have that in Spider-Man, kind of how they had it with the Tobey Maguire one. We're the best friends. We're both supposed to be hotties. Like it just wasn't about that. Like it was just about being Spider-Man and being Spider-Man's best friend. Like you know what I mean?
Yeah, because let's be honest. In Sam Raimi's movies, you didn't want to fuck. You didn't want to fuck Peter. You wanted to fuck James Franco. It was like you'd hang out with Peter, but you'd get fucked by James.
Erkin. Yeah, and then like speaking on that trope, because like I feel like the foreign kid thing is close to the either the black best friend or the like less desirable best friend. It's like three in one. If not the less desirable best friend, then the main character is like this quirky, like you know, unattractive person, and like her best friend or his best friend is supposed to be like the hottest thing in the world. I'm just like, no, like, how about we, like, honestly, people hang with all types of people, but, like, can we kill the, like, the black best friend thing first and foremost?
Yo, that's there for comedic. Yo, token black guy?
That's always there for comedic relief. Like, token black guy is never serious, never had, you know, it's always the same type of token black guy.
Do you remember Not Another Teen Movie?
Oh my God, it's so old. But literally,
the token black guy was just like, he's like, I ain't supposed to say nothing else, but that's crazy. That's whack. And shit. I'll never forget that because there was a scene in the movie where the token black guy came across Sean Patrick Thomas, who was like the token black guy for the time. And they both just looked at each other. He was like, hey, what are you doing here? He was like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was another token black guy here. He was like, yeah, man. He's like, damn. You know, that's whack. And he was like, all right, man. I'm not.
Like, I'm just really, I'm just really good on that. Like,
oh God, that shit just.
That made me violently anxious now.
Don't need that. Don't need token black guys anymore, like at all. We don't need, you know, black best friends. Like again,
sassy black friend.
Yes, yes. I'm gonna say they either bring comedic relief or toughness, or they try to make the other person more interesting. Like they bring them like more, you know, flavor, style.
To be clear, this trope doesn't count when the main cast is of at least four people and they're supposed to represent slightly different aspects of each other.
Like Girls Trip.
Perfect example. That was a perfect example.
Mm-hmm. But this is like this is on some like almost like Clueless type thing where, and I love Clueless. I love Clueless. But Sheer
R.I.P. to Stacey Dash.
I know, right? She ain't with us no more.
She with them.
I don't even want to give her a moment of silence. Anyway, so you know
Can we stop doing love triangles in movies?
Oh my God. And
the unnecessary love triangles in movies.
I don't know, because that's the problem. Love triangles are a real thing. And
yeah, either, the concept is, come on, stop playing with people's emotions. Two, unless you try and give us like some buck wild stories, I don't want to fucking hear it. They spice this shit up. Do y'all need some of my stories? I will put some of my stories out there for adaptation in the movie, fam. I got some stories. Say my name.
And the thing is that the opposite of that, right, is to present more relationship styles, right? But what I'm afraid about when they're starting to present more relationship styles is that they're doing like very typical, stereotypical things that relate to different types of relationship styles. So it's like when we see polyamory in certain shows, they mainly focus it on sex. They don't be focusing on dynamics like people just communicating or being like in a union and gathering with each other in form of company and companionship. They don't show that.
I wish they would be 100% real about polyamory. Look, polyamory works. The problem is you got to put in the work. You got to be willing to take the time. Listen, I was in a poly relationship. I had to micromanage my time. I had to micromanage between school, work. I always made sure I had personal time and then time split between two women.
Yeah. And people don't understand like that. It's not even just that you're splitting between the women. It's before you even have other partners in your, you know, I like to call it like your love circle, right? Before you have them in your love circle or in your community.
Love triangle to love circle.
Listen, okay. In your community.
I didn't know this was geometry class.
Quiet, you.
Okay, Professor Love. Continue this lesson.
So you have to like really put in a lot of work to find another participant. And they always make it seem like people just be finding each other solely off of like physical attraction and sex. And that's not polyamory. That's just not. And I don't like when they represent it that way. I just get afraid that they're going to start doing that with different types of genders, different types of sexuality that they're representing. They're going to do all these stereotypical things like, well, like even with like movies where people are coming out and it's, you know, about homosexuality, they always make it like this big deal. Like every single story of someone coming out is like this big devastating story, which sometimes is not.
Sorry, but wasn't there was just a holiday movie about this? I think it was I think I want to say Emma Watson was in it. Literally.
I actually, there was a movie. I didn't watch it, but I do want to get to that. There was a same-sex couple holiday movie, which is great because, you know, that's rarely represented in the holiday movie, you know, industry. But I'm saying is,
go ahead.
Like, I just want them to kind of normalize because there are people out there in the LGBT community who don't feel as though it has to be like a grand gesture of coming out. They're just living their everyday lives is enough, you know. And I would love for that to be more represented in Hollywood.
Yeah, I came out around the time. Modern Family was out. You know what my mom took that as when I came out to her? She's like, cool, I want an Asian baby. And left it at that. She reminds me frequently that she wants an Asian, if I'm going to date a man, she wants an Asian grandbaby.
It's just like, you know, normalize, like, let's normalize, you know, I know why coming out is important, but for some people, they also want to see other examples of, you know, not having to come out, just literally living your life and being able to come home and like, hey, here's my boyfriend here. And, you know, since there are families where it's like that. And I think that, you know, that needs to be shown too. I don't want the same stereotypical stories when it comes to gender, sexuality, relationship styles, and all that kind of stuff. There's too many TV shows and movies for us to keep getting the same stories over and over again.
Yeah, and it's always like they always have the same baseline personality.
I'm still surprised that one of the most progressive films we ever had as a people when it came to just covering an aspect of LGBTQ lifestyle was Holiday Heart, starring Bing Rhames.
Mm.
And like, am I right or am I wrong?
No, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, it was before its time, like, honestly. Because all the other movies coming out about that always involve death of someone, you know, based on their sexual orientation or based on their gender, you know.
His lover just died in the line of fire because he was a cop. But they didn't even want to recognize him as his partner. But yeah, that's still an amazing. But
it's just the way they did that movie, like how the things they didn't necessarily highlight, but they always felt the need to highlight in every other. And then for it to be a Black movie.
Right.
And then for it to be loved by Black people.
Right.
At the time that it came out, that was definitely ahead of its time. Give it up, Rames, for that.
Plus, I think that everybody was everybody was afraid of Bing Rames beating the shit out of him.
Facts.
I feel like Bing Rames had to say something at one point to somebody like, "Don't get it twisted. I knock you the fuck out."
Okay. All right. Hey, we're gonna hit this with another ad break, and then we're gonna come to our conclusion, start wrapping things up. And we're back. Yeah, and guess who's back all the time?
Who on top?
You. I saw your camera go dark. You dropped it again, dude.
No. I only slip up one time, yo. Only slip up one time. After that, we all on doo-doo-doo.
I can't get that fucking image out of my head now.
The one trope or cliche I never want to go anywhere, slow motion entrances. No. Sometimes that slow motion entrance
be hitting.
Oh, it's like it could say so much about a character without them saying shit.
Yeah. Oh, but what's go ahead.
No, I was gonna say what's a trope?
I just don't want us to forget about the main trope that we, you know, definitely know we want to discuss, which is about you know, turning, you know, black characters, especially animated characters or like non-animated, into something else.
Yeah, if we could keep our black animated characters as their character for like a whole film, that would be great.
That'd be a start. Like,
it's just like, hey, you're a human. Stay mm-hmm. human.
And the thing is, like, you know, the ones that are so prominent, like that we remember that happening, they're such great movies. Like, I think everyone thinks of Princess and the Frog with this. And when I rewatched Princess and the Frog, when Disney Plus, when, you know, first started up, I was so impressed because I watched it when it first came out, but I was so impressed of how well they captured New Orleans and like, mm-hmm. and I just thought it was a great movie, even with her being a frog. But it would, I mean, just imagine if they had to go on the adventure without being frogs, like say if they just were lost in another realm or something, like, you know.
I needed that movie to have more Shadow Man. I need to keep David.
That was great. Like, even are you ready? Oh my God. Yeah. So, and I think,
but yeah,
like, we can Soul. Do those. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can tell these stories without transforming black characters into something other than human. And we don't even have to necessarily make the story about race, even if it involves some, you know, attributes. Because like, I feel like if you are highlighting, but you know, is how like
Kippo technically in that category?
What'd you say?
Movie Kippo. Well, not the movie.
Kippo with the Age of Wonder Beast?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
She's half black, and she turns into an animal. She has pink skin, though.
Yeah, I'm like, that's she changes by choice to defend her friends and loved ones. Mm. It's different. No. And she could change back like that.
And we have so many examples of like films that highlight Asian culture without transforming their characters into animals or something else.
Yeah, this is very true. I don't know, sometimes I find it very weird when there's stories like that are not being told by people of the culture. Like I'm looking at Mulan remake, which was so many different levels of bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it was just like, it's really weird because even China not too long ago did their own version of Mulan. And I was like, I feel like they got it a lot better. Also, before we start to sound off, the one trope I do want that should go, we should stop remaking movies just so they can be in English.
Yes.
I'm okay with that. I am okay with that.
Because they remake films just so they can be in English. Yeah. I'm like, no, learn to read. It's not and hard.
You know what? Like, I love that Netflix kind of does this sometimes where they put foreign films and the foreign film is like able to, you know, gain a lot of viewership or whatever. Mm-hmm. Without having to do that. And I think you get to keep the feel that we may not be able, like we cannot sometimes recreate Japanese films or Spanish made films or Latino films. Like that vibe is so totally different than what we create here in America. Even like certain types of European films or like French films, it's totally different. Like, so why not just, you know what I mean? Like people are going to watch it. Like we know they will.
Mm-hmm. But Hollywood, we love you, but we need you to stop certain shit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You old as fuck now, fam. Grow the fuck up.
Grow yeah, and the thing is, that there are so many like people who feel as though they have to keep busting down doors in Hollywood. How many doors are you keeping locked and sealed that we have to keep busting them down? You need to be opening them up at this point.
Look, so
how long is it going to take for us to teach you this lesson, old man? I woke and chose violence today.
Right.
Sometimes you got to take a hammer to the establishment, let them know you're here.
But we always do that.
And the words of P. Diddy, we ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere because we the junkies. Junkies for life. We ain't.
And no, P. Diddy, don't ask for a check because we ain't cutting into you anything.
Yeah, P. Diddy, just keep dating children, but that's a discussion for another
day. Oh my God! we need to end this. Plug your shit now. Plug your shit now, cause we can end this.
Again, we want to thank everybody for listening in today. Please be sure to check out the Marry Me Junkies, be it on Anchor or Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Everywhere you can find podcasts.
Right. And don't forget to check out our we've got some great merch lined up, of course. We have our lion shirts and hoodies and fuck lag hoodie, which I definitely am waiting for in the mail.
Fuck lag, fuck lag V2, nerd stay dripping.
They do stay dripping. I'm pretty sure we're going to make sure there's a link to that below. I'm ready to sign off. Are you guys?
Mm-hmm.
It's your boy. Corey... God damn it.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
You go first.
This is Corey Salty True Floyd.
Demon Engine, follow me on everything. Join the Demon Engine, the Demon Army. Bleh. I stream every day at 9, and yeah, Imposter Waifu is who I am.
Oh my God. I did not know that was... What? That was your name? Anyway, it's Sidequel Love here. Sidequel Love everywhere on the internet. Just slide in my DMs to have a conversation. That's all I'm available for.
If you really want to get left on red for 3 weeks, go ahead and do it.
Jesus,
America, freedom, eagle.
Ah!
Jesus, America, freedom. Ah! We are the Marry Me Junkies. Take care of yourselves and each other. We're out.